This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush. Presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
Filling in is Andy Pate, party of choice.
And I am your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we have Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Andy.
Well, it's great to hear you. Jordan, just so you know, John may not be back because I'm told the rapture happened yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
The rapture and the eclipse at the same time?
That's what a lot of people were saying, is because of the eclipse, there was going to be a rapture.
I see. Well, so, he is rapturous.
Yeah, we're working on doing remotes. We'll make sure
we'll call that the rush rapture. We'll call it that.
The rush rapture. That's good. I was left behind, of course. My accountant filled out the wrong forms, so sure. I am not going to be going. Did you have a chance to see the eclipse?
Little bit. I mean, I'm in North Carolina, so it wasn't direct, but it got 60% darker, something like that.
60%. So. We were at 65. I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with it. I really wasn't, but there you go. Okay, let's jump right in. Gold is soaring. It's soaring. $2,400 an ounce. What was it just a year or two ago?
It was 1,600 and 1,800, went over 2,000 about 6 months ago, and now it's about 2,400. It's really having a big move here. So the governments around the world have printed lots and lots of money, what's called fiat money. It's money people accept it because the government says it's worth something, basically.
Right.
And they can just keep printing it, and they have. The U.S. government, European Central Bank, the Chinese, the Japanese, Australians, everybody's printed tons of money. There's no limit as to how much they can print, basically. And people who have lots of money are concerned about the value of their currency going down over time, so they want something that's a store of value that can't be printed. And there's two things like that. There's gold, and there's Bitcoin.
Right.
And Bitcoin's gone up to about 72,000 as well. Because there's a limited number, 21 million is the most that can ever be created in Bitcoin. And so that's got a scarcity value as well. So I think that's why you're just seeing it. On top of all of the world conflicts, Ukraine and Russia and the Middle East, and just a lot of turmoil going on around the world. That's another reason people want to buy it. And also the central banks of the world are buying a huge amount of gold, a huge amount. Particularly from the so-called BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and recently Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates joined the BRICS. And they're going to eventually come out with a new currency, a BRICS currency, as an alternative to the dollar, and they want that to be backed by gold. So they're buying a lot of gold to back this new BRICS currency as well. So these are the reasons. I think gold's going much higher from where it is right now.
Okay, do you think it's just gold and Bitcoin? What about silver?
Silver has not moved anything close to what gold has. Silver
right.
is kind of an industrial metal, so it is a precious metal, but it doesn't have the allure of gold, so it is not participating at all as much as gold is right now.
Well, I mean, the bottom line in getting back to gold is the reason it's going so high is because you can't print more gold.
That's right.
I mean, it's
and
that
you
simple.
Can't print dollars, and they do. Lots.
Well, I mean, this was going to happen anyway because countries around the world were simply printing too much, but then COVID hit.
Right.
And everybody.
A lot more.
Right. Everybody had basically, shall we call it, emergency printing. And you know how it goes. Once you start emergency printing, you don't stop.
Well, they did hand out a lot of checks. The federal government handed out about $5 trillion.
Right.
Between giving checks to people, the PPP loans for small businesses, just all kinds of support programs. It was about $5 trillion. And then, so that's the fiscal side. And then the monetary side, the Federal Reserve, printed about $4 trillion. Their balance sheet went from about $4 trillion to $8.5 trillion. And they brought interest rates down to zero to offset the negative impact of COVID. So combination of monetary and fiscal meant that, just caused a huge amount of money going into the system. Just a huge. In a very short period of time. That's one reason we have inflation.
Yeah, it seems to be the triple whammy right now, of course. You've got all this money being printed, which is, of course, producing this run on gold. It's also producing all this inflation. And so the only way to cut back inflation is to raise the interest rates way up. I mean, it's just it's crushing people, Jordan. It's really crushing people right now. And this is why you see, obviously, the approval ratings for our current leadership being so low.
So what's been happening lately is that the inflation numbers have been getting higher, not lower. And tomorrow morning, we're going to get another consumer price index number. And then Thursday morning, another producer price index number. The last 2 months have been ticking higher. Everybody thought CPI was going down. In fact, it's been going up. And we've had a stronger than expected unemployment number. Last Friday, we had over 300,000 new jobs created. People had been expecting about 200,000. So a combination of stronger employment market and higher inflation means the Federal Reserve is not about to cut interest rates anytime soon. Maybe not at all.
Now, how many of those new jobs are part-time? How many full-time? Do you have any kind of a breakdown on that?
Yeah, it's about two-thirds. Two-thirds are temporary, and a third are permanent, something like that.
Is that normal?
Yeah, that is normal. I mean, okay. The big growth areas in jobs were education, which by the nature of it is somewhat transitory. I mean, not everybody's there all the time. Healthcare, where you can have surges and so on. Some of that's permanent, but not all of it. And leisure and hospitality, hotels, airlines, rental cars, things like that, which is a very kind of seasonal thing. So you can see why there would be a lot of temporary jobs in those three areas. Those are by far the three biggest producers of jobs.
And do you think that's going to just stay ramped up going into summer? Obviously, those are summertime, strong
it's
jobs.
More of a peak, particularly leisure and hospitality, does very well in the summer, indeed.
And when people are driving to jobs and they got money in their pockets, they're also going to be using more of what? Oil.
So oil has had a major move here. 2 months ago, oil was in the high 60s, 68, 69. Now it's 86. And that's had a major move. And that, you're seeing it at the pump. I mean, we had prices below $3 a gallon, and now it's well over $3 a gallon. It's probably going to go up close to $4. It takes a while for it to kind of work its way through. But that had been one of the reasons why inflation was coming down into the low twos, 2.3, 2.4, because oil was down to in the $60 a barrel, and now with oil at 80-something, that's putting upward pressure on inflation. And the other thing that's putting upward pressure is the Red Sea being pretty much closed to shipping because the Houthis are shooting missiles at people all the time. So these ships have to go around South Africa, which costs a lot more and takes a lot longer. So that's adding to shipping costs in a major way around the world as well. So those are two relatively new inflationary factors that had been the other way. Before the Middle East war, supply chain was healing, was doing better, and oil prices have been falling. And those have now reversed here.
Jordan, why do you think we've seen such a change in the last month? And the reason I ask this is, look, the war that's been raging over there was raging long before that, and it wasn't having any impact on the oil prices, which I don't know about you. It surprised me. I thought they would go up more quickly. And then, of course, the Houthis, this is nothing new, what they're doing.
Well, they haven't.
Maybe they've ramped it up.
The Red Sea. I mean, they were shooting at Saudis, but they weren't shooting at ships going through the Red Sea.
Right. But how long have they been doing that?
About 2 months.
Okay.
Like that.
So it's pretty. Okay, that makes sense then. 2 months ago, and there's a bit of a lapse in the effect. Okay, that makes sense. But does that really account for this?
Carriers, we've been shooting down these missiles. Some of them get through.
Right.
But the shipping companies are very rightly worried about this. They don't want to be losing a huge cargo, so they're going around the Cape of Good Hope, and it's a long way to go down and all the way back. It costs a lot of money, and They got to get that from somewhere, so you can imagine they're going to be adding that to the prices of all the goods they're shipping.
All right. Getting back to gold really quick, and then we'll take a break here. Obviously, gold doesn't just go up, 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 up. There is no sure investment in life, but right now it looks like it, right? Because of all the money printing that's going on everywhere,
right,
and the instability around the world. What would be some factors that could possibly cause gold to go down over the next 6 to 8 months?
If interest rates fell, that is negative for gold. As we said, lately interest rates have been rising, and that is good for gold. So that could affect it. And, I mean, gold hasn't gone straight up to 2,400. It went down to about 1,600. That went up. So, I mean, it doesn't go straight up. But in the long term, it's kind of a store of value. Think of it like an insurance policy, basically. You don't need it until you need it. And then, you know, people want to cash it in. It also has what I call refugee mentality. When you were trying to get out of Vietnam, you know, to avoid the communist takeover, you had gold in your socks, okay, everywhere you could get it, because that's transportable wealth. And so there's for example, a lot of people try to get out of China today. A lot of wealthy people try to get out of China.
That makes sense.
They take gold with them, okay? So it's portable wealth, I guess you might say.
Jordan, before we go on, what's the website? How can people reach you and get more information on finances, not just what's going on in the world, but for them?
My email is jordan@moneyanswers.com. I get emails from your listeners all the time, and I'm always glad to help them.
Okay. And folks, just so you know, once again, Jordan doesn't just know everything that's going on around the world. He also knows every good way that you can do the best things with your finances to deal with changes in the world. If you have any questions for Jordan, give us a call at 303-477-5600. That's 303-477-5600. And I will put you right to the top because Jordan loves to take those questions. Jordan, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about Biden's program for student debt. Sound good?
Sure.
All right. Up next is Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. If you're 62 or older, call Bruce Simmons and he'll show how a reverse mortgage makes your home investment pay off right now. That's 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage can make sense for you if you are properly prepared. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, can help make sure you are ready. Many things you do not need to do first, like paying your bills off first or making certain repairs. And sometimes you will need to shore up some things on the home title or a repair that Bruce knows will be needed for the appraisal. The point is, you can be prepared for a reverse mortgage and move now rather than waiting. In an interest rate increasing environment, acting quicker rather than later puts more money in your pocket. Call Bruce Simmons for a free consultation at 303-467-7821. That's 303-467-7821. Or schedule online now at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Level Engineering. I got solar from Alan Davis. You can too. To get all information and no pressure. That's really important, by the way, folks. I sat down with Alan, and there was no pressure at all. It was totally relaxing, and I like that. So, to get all information, no pressure, call Alan at 303-378-7537.
Alan Davis with Level Engineering knows how much you despise cleaning your bathroom, but having that toilet brush in your hand actually might be more fun than opening up your electrical bill every month. You keep seeing constant rate increases, and those costs keep going up and up. We can't rescue you from cleaning the bathroom, but we can tell you that Alan Davis with Level Engineering will help you assess whether solar is right for you and your family. With electricity rates going up several times a year, and most households already paying up to 85% more in the last 3 years, just think about the money you'll be spending on electricity over the life of your home. That could be hundreds of thousands of dollars instead of getting solar now with Alan Davis and Level Engineering. What you save over the years and the tax credit could mean tens of thousands of dollars back in your pocket and a meaningful tax credit today. We can't save you from housework, but we can help you save money. Call Alan Davis today, 303-378-7537, or email him at adavis@levelengineering.com.
American National Insurance. Paul Leuenberger would love to help with all your insurance needs. And if John recommends him, you know he's the best. Call Paul at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger will teach you how to pay for home insurance the right way, saving money on premiums while protecting yourself from catastrophic costs in the future. American National Insurance keeps premiums low by attracting clients who choose to self-insure the small stuff. Most people don't understand basic economics, so they file claims all the time, driving up the cost of insurance year after year. You listen to Rush to Reason, so you probably have a better head on your shoulders, financially speaking, than the average homeowner. Still, you can learn new strategies from Paul Leuenberger to practice responsible money management. The smartest homeowners only file claims in emergencies, opting to pay out of pocket for everyday expenses. Personal responsibility benefits everyone, enabling you to afford total loss coverage. Call John's personal insurance agent, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance for details about his one-of-a-kind rebate program. 303-662-0789.
Do you want to improve your health, fitness, and beauty? Are you an athlete recovering from an injury? A weekend warrior who is sore from your last workout? Do you have a chronic medical condition, trying to meet a health and wellness goal? Or maybe you are looking for a great doctor who thinks the way you do. Dr. Scott Faulkner and Castle Rock Regenerative Healthcare is your path to a healthier tomorrow. Owner Dr. Scott is a board-certified internal medicine specialist, bringing decades of experience and expertise to the table. Dr. Scott is a true advocate of the latest advancements in healthcare. That's why he uses umbilical-derived stem cells, which have been clinically proven to be the most potent stem cells available. Worried about being lost in the crowd of impersonal healthcare? Fear not. Dr. Scott is a big-picture doctor, not beholden to big pharma like some other providers. He takes the time to understand your unique needs and will customize your healthcare to fit you, your body, and your lifestyle. Reach your full potential and achieve your goals. Call Dr. Scott today at 303-663-6990 or visit him online at CastleRockRegenerativeHealth.com or find him at RushToReason.com.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush on the line right now. We got Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Okay, Jordan, Biden unveiled a new program to forgive a lot more debt for students. Tell us about
it. So he announced this yesterday. I remember he had done an earlier program that was going to forgive about $430 billion in debt.
Right.
And it got struck down by the Supreme Court. They said that he did not have the authority to do so. It had to be an act of Congress, which
he still doesn't.
Not about to do. And so he's kept trying, and he came back again. So the program he's talking about would cut debt for about 30 million Americans automatically. They would not have to even apply for it. It would cut your debt to zero if your income as an individual is up to $120,000 a year, for a couple up to $240,000 a year. So it would be a lot of people. That's why 30 million people. I think there's a total of about 44 million people that have student debt. So it would be, you know, the vast majority of them would get a lot of relief. This is what's called buying votes.
Yeah. Basically. You think? I mean, look, I'm not going to hide my feelings on this. I think this is flat out evil. I'm sorry. After fighting all this inflation, now we're going to give away a bunch more money? Is he out of his mind? No, he's buying votes.
Yeah. So it's obviously going to be very popular with the people whose debt is going to magically disappear.
Right.
It's clearly going to be challenged by Republicans in Congress and Republican attorney generals. I think there's 26 of them around the country.
Seven already came forward and said they're banding together. There will probably be more. This is going to go down, isn't it, Jordan?
Well, it went down before in the Supreme Court, and there are slight changes in how they're doing it, but they're counting on the Higher Education Act of 1965.
Right.
And in there, there's some slight wording that says the education secretary can waive certain things. It's not saying they could do a mass forgiveness of hundreds of billions of dollars in debt. It did not say that. But this is what lawyers get paid to do, is argue the fine points of on the head of a pin. You know?
Try to thread the needle.
Try to thread the needle, and he's going to try it again. I mean, it'll be sued, and it won't be decided until after the election. It will have done its work as far as, you know. I mean, he's trying to help people who generally do have a tremendous burden. I mean, a lot of people, they owe more than when they graduated because interest has been accruing. And particularly, remember the last 3 years when they put a moratorium on paying student loan debt during COVID, the debt didn't go away and the interest just kept accruing. So a lot of people have way, way more than they literally have principal when they graduated.
But Jordan, those people took that risk. Those people, look, and you know as well as I do, people with a college education on average make a lot more money than other people. And here we're basically telling, you know, let's face it, plumbers, electricians, everybody in the trades, we're telling people like me who I have a college degree and I paid mine off. I paid it off in two ways. First of all, I did 4 years in the military, right? Got the GI Bill, and then I had to pay the other half off myself. You're telling everybody else that so I can buy these people's votes, I'm Joe Biden right now, so I can buy their votes, I'm going to take your money in taxes to buy their votes, even when they took a risk that you didn't, or they haven't paid theirs off, and you did. And by the way, we got a lot of free money during COVID. Why didn't you save up any of that to put toward this? Oh, no, you spent it on other things. Yes, I know. There were other needs. I get it. We crashed the economy, which, by the way, I would not have advised. But this is unfair, Jordan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is grotesquely unfair. It's redistribution of wealth strictly to buy votes.
It's about 13% of the U.S. population owes student debt, something like that. So it's helping them at the expense of the other 87% who, as you say, either didn't go to college at all, paid off their own loans, didn't take on loans, took second jobs, or one way or the other are out of debt. It's saying to them, you are the suckers.
Yeah, well, you tell me. Let's say you've got a receptionist, okay? Can be a guy or girl. Let's say it's a plumber. Can be a guy or girl, whatever, right? Why should that person pay to help pay off the loans of people who are that who are going to make more money than them on average because they got a degree out of it?
Yeah.
Why should these people be paying for those?
It's a lobbying question. The people who are paying are diffuse and unorganized, and the people who have the huge amount of debt are concentrated and organized.
So it comes down to power.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you don't have people storming Congress saying, we don't want to pay off other people's student loans because it doesn't really affect them directly, you know? Whereas the people who have the student debt are very vocal, and they're the ones feeling the pain. So they're going to be well organized to say this is a great idea.
Can I ask you something? And you and I, yes, we almost never talk politics. Okay, we really don't. We talk economics here. But I got to ask you a question. Is this a sign of the elite Democrats abandoning the middle class, just flat out abandoning it? What I mean is this. People who have college degrees on average are going to be making more money. They're going to be wealthier. So right now you're bailing out the wealthy. And the Democrats are overwhelmingly supported by the very wealthy, the tech billionaires and so forth, the Hollywood. And, you know, most wealthy people nowadays lean left. And so what you're doing is you're shoveling money to young people who aren't wealthy yet, but they're going to be wealthier because of that piece of paper they got. And the people who are having it stuck to them are the ones who are earning a living in the middle class and don't have that piece of paper, or they already paid for it. Is this party simply abandoning the middle class? Are they giving up? Because they see, I know a lot of polling shows they're losing the middle class.
Yeah, I think for other reasons. I mean, the vast majority of people who are getting college degrees are middle class. They're not upper class. They're, you know, middle class. I mean, millions and millions, 44 million Americans.
Fair enough.
You know, have student debt at this point.
But there's upper and lower
middle class people.
There's upper and lower middle class. You know,
there is. But, I mean, they're not. I mean, of that 44 million, some very, very small percentages, you know, rich, I guess you might say.
True.
So, I mean, Biden is certainly putting it out that he's doing this for the middle class, people who have these debts. And yes, they took it on. In many cases, they took it on not really understanding what they were doing. They're 18, and they just say, I want to go to school and party and have a great time, and I'll figure the rest out later. Well, later has arrived for all these people, and they're not happy about it, having to pay You can imagine you're paying and paying and paying, and you're making no progress whatsoever on this thing for 10 or 30 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's why I budgeted money when I was younger, and I paid for it. And what about that 18-year-old who starts being a plumber? And he's now 30, and he's been making money and working his tail off, and he's right. told that he's going to help pay for these people who get a piece of paper. He never will. Anyway, yeah. I sorry to go on. I'm done.
Okay, we got the idea. Anyway,
I'm done ranting.
I think it's going to get struck down by the courts again.
Yeah,
but not until after the election. So it's buying votes. It's clearly what he's doing. Clearly.
Okay. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the unemployment numbers. Sound good?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Up next is Veteran Windows and Doors. Hey, folks, they're offering free labor through April right now, which is pretty great. And you can feel free to shop around. Veteran's going to give you the best deal. For the best in windows and doors, call Veteran at 303-529-0720, or you can go to klzradio.com.
Veteran Windows and Doors guarantees every window and door they install is installed correctly. That means insulated, flashed, and sealed on the inside and outside for your benefit. It's because they follow stricter installation codes than what is required to protect you and your home from any additional costs or problems. And Veteran commits to a 5-year labor warranty because they want to go the extra mile. They are that confident in their craftsmanship and product. Veteran Windows and Doors will take time to make sure your home is weathertight during installation so that you remain comfortable throughout the entire process. Veteran promises they will always be there for you on the phone and in person in the rare chance any issues arise. Other companies give you a shorter labor warranty, and they may never return your call. For the month of April, enjoy free installation on your windows and doors with Veteran. Check out Veteran Windows and Doors today at klzradio.com.
Ridgeline Auto Brokers, when you're looking at used cars, you want good selection and the best inspections. That's so important. Ridgeline has both, and you can find them at 303-442-4141.
Are you in the market for a reliable car that won't break the bank? Do you need high-quality auto repair? Then look no further. Ridgeline Auto Brokers specializes in quality used cars that cost between $15,000 and $25,000, making them a great option for first-time drivers or anyone looking for a good deal. At Ridgeline, we pride ourselves on providing a transparent and hassle-free car buying experience. That's why we never charge any dealer fees. Plus, all of our vehicles are inspected by our team of ASE-certified technicians. You can trust that the car you're buying is in excellent condition. And remember, we can also service your vehicle after the sale. At Ridgeline, we offer competitive financing options for vehicle purchase or for vehicle repairs. Ridgeline now has 2 locations, one in Boulder, and now a second location in Fort Collins, located at 1101 North College Avenue. Both locations offer full-service auto repair and a host of off-road accessories. Check out all our services at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com. Ridgeline, the smart way to buy or service your car.
Cub Creek Heating and Air. Hey, the seasons are changing, so both heating and cooling right now are real concerns. For the best of each, call Doug and Hunter at Cub Creek. That's 303-656-5467.
Cub Creek Heating and AC knows that solving your home's heating and cooling needs can be confusing. The energy industry can be complicated, and Cub Creek will help you navigate through it so you owe as little as possible. Denver is mostly served by a large power company, but many of the towns around it are served by smaller power companies, all with different policies and regulations. The team at Cub Creek understands these regulations so they can best advise you on what will save you the most. They walk customers through the options step by step, always keeping your overall net cost in mind. Most companies say they'll get you the biggest rebate, but sell you the most expensive equipment, so you lose money in the end. And Cub Creek isn't a commission-based company, so there's no chance you'll be upsold. They will give you all the options, and you choose how to proceed. Learn the facts and save money with Ream Pro Partners Cub Creek Heating and AC today by going to klzradio.com/HVAC.
Roof Savers. There's nothing like seeing a dry, brittle roof suddenly look young and new after treatment from Dave Hart at Roof Savers. By the way, it's pretty cool to watch, too. You watch him spray it on there, and everything just settles down, and it looks stronger. It's great. Give Dave a call at 303-710-6916.
Every year, hailstorms ravage Colorado's Front Range, leaving gardens and roofs alike in shambles. From last year's storms alone, there are still an estimated 30 to 45% of roofs that are in need of replacements. That's where we come in. Hi, I'm Madison Hart.
And I'm Elizabeth Hart.
We here at Roof Savers Colorado take pride in helping homeowners make the best decision for their home and their roof.
Before we know it, hail season will arrive and your home will need a reliable, sturdy, and watertight roof. We will work with any insurance company to ensure you get the replacement you need. For over 23 years, we have specialized in both repairing and replacing your roof so that you can focus on what's important in life.
Don't let another storm season go by without replacing your roof, leaving your home vulnerable to leaks and at risk of further damage. Call Roof Savers Colorado today at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com. That's 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com to have a free inspection done on your roof.
Now, back to Rush to Reason, presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, and we're talking right now to Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, I know the March unemployment numbers, they're good, they're stronger than expected. Two questions.
They were.
Hey, that's great. But two questions. First of all, do you expect it to continue? And I would think it kind of would going into summer. And secondly, how do I put this? No, tell you what, just do that, and then I'll ask you my next question.
Okay.
Do you expect it to continue?
Yeah, we got a lot of momentum. There's still about 9.5 million jobs unfilled in the country.
Right.
What's been changing is more people coming back into the workforce. The labor participation rate is up to 62.7%. During COVID, it gotten down to like 60%. So a lot of people dropped out. It took a while for people to come back,
but now that's rising. But that's rising worldwide. I mean,
it is
coming out of COVID.
To some extent, people are leaving the workforce because they retire, or you know, they get sick, or there are various reasons they leave the workforce. So we need a growing workforce to be able to do all these jobs. That literally, there's 9 million jobs that are unfilled, and employers can't find people to. Either willing or able, you know, knowledgeable enough to do these kind of jobs. So that's a positive. Wages are arriving at about a 4.1% annual rate, which is down from about 4.5% before. So they're rising, but still slowly. There are certain areas. For example, on April 1st, California increased the minimum wage from $16 to $20 an hour. So
awesome.
That's a 25% increase. And that led to a lot of layoffs, like thousands of layoffs of particularly fast food workers. Because the small businesses that run these fast food places just can't afford $20 an hour. So the people remaining get paid more, but there's a lot fewer of them because, you know, when you raise wages that quickly, it just can't be passed on to consumers and where consumers will pay.
Well, it also led to price hikes. And I was seeing one article, I don't know if you saw this, Burger King, they raised, it was like just for one of their nice-sized value meals, went from 15 something all the way up to like 16.80, and I'm thinking, my gosh, you're almost putting out a $20 bill for a value meal anymore. And I didn't know if I was more surprised by the new price or the fact that it was already well over 15.
No, well, it's going to go higher because they just can't absorb these kind of wage increases without doing something. I mean, one of the things they're also doing is automation. And I think you're going to see a lot more automation in restaurants and other places.
Right.
Because they don't get paid $20 an hour. They don't complain. I mean, just to give you one example, when you're ordering at a drive-thru at a Wendy's or McDonald's, it's already happening. I think we'll get more automatic order-taking machines that can speak any language. You know, a person can only speak one or two languages. You could program it with artificial intelligence to speak any language. And have your order be extremely accurate. So that's an example of a job that can be eliminated and will be by artificial intelligence.
Jordan, we're seeing this right now nationally, of course, with the national leadership and also the leadership in these blue states. And what I mean is this. We're not seeing free markets. We're seeing activist markets. And it just area after area after area after sector of the economy is being heavily impacted by activism, right? It can be green activism. It can be wage activism like this. Do you think this is really sustainable? I mean, you can't just keep ratcheting up prices.
Well, I mean, there are benefits always to these things, but there are costs. And the people putting these three things through always emphasize the benefits, and the people paying for it emphasize the costs. Okay, so in the wage case, yes, it's great that people are getting paid $20 an hour instead of $16, but the costs are falling on consumers having to pay more for the meals and the business owners who can't afford it, and either they're going to lay people off, close down, and then you don't get anything. Another example, I heard that Pizza Hut in California laid off all their delivery drivers.
Oh, my.
And now they're going to use DoorDash and Uber Eats to deliver pizzas. So God knows how many thousands of pizza delivery people just got laid off from this thing. So
and that's just terrible, Jordan. I mean, wouldn't it be better just to sit back, and I'm not even asking you to be, you know, the second coming of Adam Smith here, but wouldn't it be better just to take a step back and let people actually choose to pay what they think something is worth, be it for an employee or be it for a product or an employee?
If you go way back, before we had minimum wage laws, people were exploited.
Sure.
I mean, the current national minimum wage is like $7.25, so that's too low, okay? But to raise it from 16 to 20 in one slot like that, I mean, the small businesses of California were saying, if you do that, this is what's going to happen. And but that's exactly what's been happening.
Well, yeah, but I mean, is the only alternative to these extremes exploitation? Does it have to be an extreme of exploitation versus an extreme of ratcheting up prices? Basically, taking activism and just taking it like a wrecking ball to the free market. I just feel that there's got to be a middle ground that's a lot better.
Well, it's similar to what we were talking about before on the student loan thing. The people who are wanting the $20 minimum wage are unions that are very organized and great lobbyists. The small business people paying it, in general, tend not to be as organized to lobby against it. I mean, it went through the California legislature, and the unions, SEIU particularly, was extremely powerful in getting this thing passed through. Again, the people benefiting, like the people getting the student loan relief, are very visible and organized. And the people paying, in this case, small business owners owning McDonald's and people who don't pay student loans, are not that organized and vocal.
So basically it's whoever has power. They impose it on others. Whoever has political power imposes it on others. That sounds pretty socialist. Let me ask you this. Well, it does. I'm sorry. It just is. Is it true that grocery prices are up nearly 40% since the end of 2019? That's what I read.
Right. Yeah.
That is shocking.
It depends on the product. I mean, chicken, remember, eggs went up like hundreds of percent for a while there.
Right, yeah.
And chicken is way up because the bird flu has killed off millions of chickens. So it depends. But overall, that probably sounds about right, that grocery prices are up substantially in the last 5 years.
The reason I ask you that, Jordan, is do you think that plays into the much higher credit card debt that we have right now?
Yes, because income is not going up enough to pay for basics like groceries and gas, and they're making up the difference with debt, which is a very expensive way to do it because you're talking about well more than 20% interest on, you know, if you're revolving balances these days.
My goodness. Jordan, I'm not seeing a light at the end of this tunnel. Are you?
Artificial intelligence will save us.
Oh, yeah, that'll fix everything. It's got my vote. What do you see possibly happening that could be good news economically, not just for people who are picked and chosen for political reasons and given money, but I'm talking in general, good news in the economy that could benefit all Americans?
Well, I mean, the stock market's done extremely well this
year. Okay, that's good.
You know, and that's a broad benefit. Obviously, it helps the people who have more assets more. But the people who have 401ks are happy with what's going on with their portfolios and mutual funds. So, I mean, that's been a very positive thing. I mean, we still are creating a lot of jobs, which is a lot better than laying a lot of people off. So that's a good thing. And particularly compared with the rest of the world, we're doing much better than... I mean, China is really falling off a cliff here because of their real estate implosion.
Yeah, what's the latest with that? We haven't talked about that in a couple
terrible.
Of months.
Terrible. Just terrible. I mean, developers have gone bankrupt.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to ask you to do this because I know you've talked it through with us before. But for those who didn't hear those shows, could you describe exactly what's happening in China?
So they had a massive building boom for about 20 years, and they were building these massive 50-story towers in these huge cities, 50 or more towers, offices, shopping malls, apartment buildings, and people were buying these things because the main way to make money in Chinese society is real estate and getting your apartment to go up in value. So there was this huge rush into it, and these building companies, there were like 50 major builders building these huge complexes, and it just became overheated, and then people start not being able to afford it anymore, and then the sales started falling, and then the development companies went bankrupt. So now there are literally, I think the number I heard was 900 million empty apartments in China.
Oh, my.
900 million. That's a lot. These buildings are, whatever, half done or, you know, quarter done, will never be occupied. The major companies, Evergrande and Country Garden, were the two biggest, have gone, not only gone bankrupt, but they're in liquidation.
So what happens to the properties? They become property of the government or what?
They're just sitting there. I mean, a huge bad debt on the economy, huge, and it's obviously infected consumer confidence in a major way. If you put your life savings in an apartment that you can't get your money back out and you'll never be able to inhabit it, that does not do a lot for your consumer confidence, let's put it that way.
You know, one thing that worries me... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jordan.
So that's a real drag on the Chinese economy now. Before, people were making all this money. They're flipping apartments. They're feeling really wealthy. Real estate's going up all the time. And, you know, the Chinese economy is growing at 8 or 9 or 10%. Now maybe 1%, and this is an enormous burden. And it's a deflationary burden, right? Those prices are falling.
Oh, yeah.
For real estate and other things. Just think of all of what went into building those now what are called ghost cities. All the concrete and copper and steel and windows and, you know, appliances and everything that went in there. There was a huge demand from around the world to supply those projects. And now they're sitting there completely empty. I mean, Evergrande, which is the largest of the developers, had 800 cities they were building, each of which had about 50-story buildings in it. I mean, it's just massive. And you see this when you go to China. These are the things they call them, the ghost cities.
I wonder if there was anybody working in Evergrande. I'll bet you there were, right? Because there's always some guy or girl who's lower down the ladder who is warning and saying, you know what? You're really betting on a lot of things coming through for you, and this may not work out, and they weren't listened to.
It was government policy to do this.
They were just forced to.
Yeah. You don't have choice in China. This is what you're going to do.
Okay, I didn't know that. I know that the government obviously weighs heavily on it. I didn't know that they had no choice. I thought that there were people who thought this was a good bet.
The government was encouraging this with loose credit, with, you know, telling these companies to build these cities. Obviously, it was creating a huge amount of employment to build all these cities and all, everything that went in them. So it was very much of a stimulation to the economy. But it was like a false bubble. And then when it got a little bit too hot, the Chinese central bank said, wait a minute, this is getting a little too hot here. It's similar to what happened with us in 2008, you know, 2007. It got too hot.
Right.
And they started raising rates and cooling things off and making credit harder to get. And the real estate market crashed, basically, is what happened.
Well, isn't that, by the way, you always sound better when you have a musical background to you. I just want you to know. You should always have that.
Well, phone calls going off.
That's I know. It's okay. You're popular. I understand.
I am.
It's a burden you bear. Well, I mean, isn't that just a bigger example of what's going on in places like California where the government intrudes on the marketplace and says, you got to pay all these workers $20, of course, unless they bake bread there because, you know, the owner of Panera is a friend of the governor's. But, I mean, you see what I mean? So whenever politicians do activism economy rather than economy, free market economy, it just seems like you're setting yourself up for a bad time.
Well, it distorts the natural flow.
Right.
I mean, the all that real estate would never have been built had they not had this free-flowing money and the government kind of telling them they had to do this.
And they'd be in great shape now.
That would not have happened in the U.S. because in the U.S., the private banks would never have financed that amount of overbuilding. They could see. It was ridiculous. I mean, this was going on for years. There were ghost cities 10 years ago, and they kept building them. I went to China myself in 2015, and saw these. And I took the bullet train from Beijing to Shanghai, which is about a five-hour trip. And literally, along the entire route, you see these 50-story buildings in the middle of a rice paddy. There was
wow.
no town there. You're going by and just seeing, you know, rice paddy or wheat fields. And in the middle of it, there's this 50-story building being built. Like, who's going to live there, you know? And
that's incredible.
All over the place, yeah.
All right.
So it crashed.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back from break, I want to ask you, and I'm going to give you the question right now, okay? If you could, if you can think of three things, let's say for everybody who's listening right now who's worried and seeing inflation and seeing a lot of these things going on, what are three things that you would advise them? And, of course, what are some helpful tools that you can provide them? Sound good?
All righty.
Okay, up next is Hi-Fi Plumbing. When a plumbing issue hits, don't call Jordan, don't call me. You need two things. You need quality, and you also need an easy number to remember. To get both, call Hi-Fi at 877-WE-HI-FI.
Your holidays may have brought all sorts of unwanted gunk to your home plumbing, and Hi-Fi can help fix it fast. Your guests are gone and you're smelling new smells from your drains or seeing sinks and showers drain slowly. It's time to call the professionals. Finding where the problem is can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with Hi-Fi's cutting-edge tools and resources, they'll have those drains flowing again in no time. Hi-Fi can take video of your main line and use the highest quality tools like digital augers and jetters to clear clogs so that you can get back to your day hassle-free. Mainline cleaning is dependent on your main access being cleared of furniture or appliances and is ultra affordable. Tell Hi-Fi you heard about it on Rush to Reason and you'll get $100 off the service. Get started today at klzradio.com/plumbing.
Golden Eagle Financial, prepare your financial future by maximizing your present with Al Smith. No one does it better, so call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
You need Golden Eagle Financial to maximize your retirement in this new reality of rising costs that will not stop. That way you can retire on your terms. When prices rise, there are strategies and tools that an experienced retirement planner like Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial can use to maximize your returns while maintaining minimal risk. This gives you more purchasing power to retire on your terms. Whether you want to travel, give to others, purchase property, or anything else you've worked for your whole life, Al can provide essential analysis and strategy to make sure that you're prepared for any economic changes. So that'll help you understand the exact risks and expenses and help you fit it into your plan for your future. Call Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today and get started preparing for your new reality by going to klzradio.com/money for a free consultation. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Golden Eagle Financial Limited are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents.
Michael Bailey Law, you know, procrastination, that's going to cost you. But procrastinating with your will could cost those you love most. Don't wait. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274.
Estate planner Michael Bailey is familiar with all the St. Patrick's Day traditions, but he wants to make sure you don't leave your estate plan to luck. If you don't have an estate plan on paper, filed with an estate planning attorney, the state of Colorado will distribute your assets how they see fit. That's not very lucky. And locating your relatives costs money. They won't do that for free. They'll use your estate to fund their impish little probate leprechaun search for your next of kin. That's not lucky either. Instead, Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, says you should make your own luck, and that means writing what your wishes are on a document in detail. This way you get to choose who gets what, and it's not left up to little green men on the hunt for a pot of gold. So do the right thing for your family and reach out to the mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey, by going to klzradio.com/estate today and start making your own luck.
John the Cyber Guy, most of us aren't qualified to secure our computer network. We're just not. But John Cannata is the expert who protects your business top to bottom. Call John at 720-593-6688.
Have you ever considered a career as a cyber criminal? Think of all the money you could extort from victims. No experience? No problem. With the latest ransomware as a service, you can get all the tools and support of a top-ranked ransomware gang for just a few dollars a day. And with so many underprotected businesses out there, you won't have to work very hard. All you need is a big ego and no scruples. But wait, maybe you're an ethical person with a conscience, a business owner who just wants to take care of customers. You'd rather avoid ransomware. If that's you, call John the Cyber Guy. John knows the tactics hackers use and has the tools and know-how to stop them. Ransomware as a service is a real and growing threat. Don't let some entry-level hacker bring down the business you work so hard to build. Contact John the Cyber Guy today at klzradio.com/security or call him at 720-593-6688.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, and I'm speaking with Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, once again, how can people reach you?
Jordan@moneyanswers.com is my email. It's where to get to me.
Sounds great. Okay, Jordan.
Right, I've got three things for you.
Yeah, let's
see. First one is credit card debt. I mean, we talked about the average rate being over 20%. That's just really killing. Here's a free website, myguidetocreditcards.com. where you can see at any particular time the best, lowest interest rates, along with the best frequent flyer miles and rebates and cash back, and there's all kinds of different things. So improve your credit card situation.
So wait, say it again one second. My guide to?
To creditcards.com. My guide to creditcards.com.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, go ahead.
Second one, I would say buy some gold and Bitcoin. I mean, they've had big moves. I think they're going to have bigger moves. You can either buy them directly or you can do exchange-traded funds like a regular stock. On the stock exchange, either for gold, like a GLD, or Bitcoin, GBTC. There's a whole bunch of these exchange-traded funds. Bitcoin's over 72,000 now. About 2 years ago, it was 16,000. You can see the direction. It's going to keep going up.
You know, so. Jordan, a lot of people ask the question, and I know you don't have one solid answer, but they ask, what percentage of my investments should be in precious metals or Bitcoin or these kinds of things?
At least 10% each, I would say, 20% total, at least.
Okay.
I mean, Bitcoin could go to a million or something. I mean, it's limited the amount of could ever be issued, as we said. And there's tremendous demands for Bitcoin by very smart, wealthy people and institutions, mutual funds and so on. So limit demand, increase, limited supply, increased demand means to me the price keeps going up. So it's volatile day to day, but long term I think you can see the direction. So that would be the second thing. And then the third thing I would say would be reconsider going to college. I mean, you really want to be careful if your kids are not don't have a good direction and they're going to pile on, you know, hundreds of thousands of debt and not come out with a clear direction. I mean, college is a great thing, and I went, you went, it's a great thing, but a lot of people graduate and don't really have a good sense of what they want to do with them. They have the piece of paper and the debt, but not much of a direction. So
you're saying right now, don't rush into going to college.
You know,
rethink it.
And trade schools or community colleges, there's lots of ways you can get things online. I mean, there's loads of online universities. You can learn about whatever you want, basically, online in a few weeks, you know. So,
well, and you mentioned another
coder, whatever it may be.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry, I just get so fascinated. And you mentioned another thing, the trades right now. I mean, when you're talking about what AI is going to do, the trades seem to be one of the safest places to go.
Right. I would agree with you. Working with your hands, not for everybody, but it's going to be much more secure. There's a tremendous shortage of plumbers and carpenters. And it was interesting when the Key Bridge fell in Baltimore. All of the workers that died were Hispanic. You might have noticed that.
I did not.
There were no Americans. There's Jimenez and, you know, Gonzalez and all those kind of things. I mean,
so
those are the people that do the manual work these days. In the farms and the factories and the slaughterhouses and so on, there's just a tremendous shortage of Americans who do these kind of things. So I just think it's a major financial decision to go to college. I would say 50% or more, it works out well. But 50% or less, it does not work out well.
Well, that's an awfully expensive risk on a 50%.
It is. It is. And particularly with the cost of college going up and the interest rates on the debt going up. And here you have 44 million people with student loan debt, some of it 30 years old or more. And they don't even remember what they took for classes or what they majored in, you know, 30 years later.
And you got heartless people like me getting mad about paying it off. Hey, one last question here really quick. U.S. Treasury bonds, what do you think?
Well, interest rates have been rising. The long Treasury is now up to about 4.4% as the Fed Reserve is not cutting rates as they thought. And there's a huge amount that's being issued. Last year, all 2023, the Treasury issued $23 trillion in debt. Now, some of it was refinancing old debt, but they're issuing $2 to $3 trillion a month. It's just staggering. And so we're adding to the debt all the time. And the debt that we had from 2 and 3 years ago, which might have been issued at 0 or 1 or 2%, is now rolling over at 3 and 4%. Okay, so we have more debt at higher interest rates. The interest cost for the government is literally about to become the largest expense of the government, about $1 trillion a year, more than defense, more than Social Security, more than Medicare.
That's horrible.
Interest on the national debt is taking over as the largest expenditure of the federal government.
And those bonds are still about as safe as it gets, right?
As long as we don't default. We got close last June, but I don't think they're going to go there. We're just going to keep issuing them. We're up to about $34 trillion in debt now. The Congressional Budget Office recently estimated we're going to be at $50 trillion in about 5 years.
All right.
Things are going.
All right. Well, that's Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. Folks, that's it for hour number one. And hour number two, Tanner Coleman is going to join me. We're going to be talking about Trump's huge abortion decision. Then Richard Rush is going to join us, talk Broncos and the toughest QB decision they've ever made coming into an NFL draft. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.